A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Welcome everybody to another fun-filled episode of the Tommy Hector and Rita podcast. This week's episode, I have not consulted with my co-hosts.
That's unlike you.
Comes in from Owen Creevy, and this week's episode is called Spartak Mosny.
Okay, that's good. Well done, yeah, Owen.
They are brilliant. They are great ones. So super.
Thanks for that. So we did, for those of you who don't know, we do a members-only podcast that goes out of a Monday. Mm-hmm. And I'd recommend it to you. But the only reason why I'm mentioning it right now is because on the Monday one, we kind of gave the Ten Commandments a go.
We gave the Ten Commandments a good going over.
A lash. But I thought we'd, this week, today, we'd broaden our...
Where are we off to today?
I think we touched...
Father Tiernan?
Well, no, call me Ajahn Tomo.
Oh, right. Okay, oh God.
Have you changed your name, like Sinead O'Connor?
Who's she now?
Sinead
theology.
O'Connor changed her name to Magda...
Martin Morrissey. No, who?
Sinead O'Connor, the singer, changed her name to...
Britney Spears.
Islamic... No,
Magda... Joe Dolan.
No, please, go on. What are your new name, Tommy?
Ajahn Tomo.
And where are you living, in Fallujah?
Fallujah, no. But I just thought, as a kind of a spine for today's thing, we might talk about, have you heard of the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism?
No, I haven't.
Yes, I would be interested in this. Very good.
So, here we go.
Right. So the first, I was going to talk about what I had for breakfast this morning.
We're getting deeper.
I bet you can fit in all the stuff you've prepared. Now, nothing sends a shiver down our spines than you doing preparation. But so the first noble truth of Buddhism, tell me what you think of this, is that life is shit. That's what the Buddha said, that basically life is suffering.
Right.
Life is dissatisfaction. Life is never fucking A-OK. It's always, even when it's brilliant, it's a bit
something
shit.
Pulling you back.
So would that resonate with Gina? Ultimately, life is just not very satisfying. There's something missing.
Yeah, I mean, there's always probably something, as you said, no matter how good it is, there's always something that'll probably just put a tarnish on it, isn't there?
Yeah. So Hector, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
And how do you feel about it now?
No, what I was saying...
did you have for breakfast?
No, but bringing in that Buddhism thing aspect of the world we live in at the moment, where it's all about muesli and it's yogurt and it's kefir and it's this and it's porridge and it's oats.
Depending on the world you live in, Hector.
And it's all bullshit. Everything is shite. Because I finally realised...
Hang on, would you have muesli and mayo? Like, would it have made...
Yeah, it's amazing in the big... So we have big supermarkets in Mayo as well.
I'd say
nobody has muesli and mayo.
No,
Nobody.
We call it muesli as well.
I'd say the day the first fucking packet of Country Store went over the border and Roscommon or Sligo, there was great celebration.
I heard that when
Absolutely, we love it.
Mayo people gathered around the first box of Alpen, like people around the satellite dish.
And they went round the candlelight, they went, bring me honey, bring me applemas, bring me
hazelnuts. Bring me creed, bring me good things to eat in Kellogg's Country Store.
And Adam and I heard Douglas and Vic, that was at the Mass.
They knocked on
farmers gathered around a bowl of apples. You wouldn't give that to a horse.
No way do you have muesli.
Of course we have muesli. Muesli.
And kefir?
Yeah, if you want it. Oh,
that's someone's name.
Kefir Kjogan. That's like Waller Shields. Ayatollah Waller Shields.
So what did you have for the breakfast?
So you can have all your proteins and your scrambled eggs and your soda breads and your muesli and your blueberries and your pomegranates, and it's all muck. there's only one thing for breakfast, and I had it this morning.
Bits of dead pig.
No,
fried.
I had a cup of tea and a bit of batched bread toasted, lathered in butter, like it was from Spicer's in 1983.
Lovely.
And that's it. Tea and toast. Tea and toast, the original breakfast for Irish people.
Batch.
We're getting too fancy. And then all other breakfasts are shit. And life is shit. Let's get back
now,
to what is
so it. Are you working out these days? Are you
no, why do you keep asking?
If he was working out, he'd hardly be eating batched bread.
That's what I'm asking, yeah. Because if you were, because you went through a phase of your life where you were weighing bits of chicken.
No, I never.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't
you did.
Weigh,
you did.
I wouldn't
you
weigh
did.
A chicken, Tommy. It's a chicken breast.
Yeah, you.
No,
weighed.
I'm after coming back from Eastern Europe, where I'm after eating in petrol stations.
They don't weigh food.
I have
over
Eastern
there.
Europe pandemic petrol belly on me here, and I have no interest in. I'm going to eat the whole of myself this Christmas. I am. My missus has slipped a few mince pies in already, and I'm just.
Oh, there's nothing nicer.
BBC Sports Personality of the Wars next Sunday night. I'm going to be absolutely stuffed like a rabbit. I don't care about food over Christmas time.
So you're enjoying the sensuality of it.
Oh yeah, and then in the new year I'll get back into it all. I'm not training.
January,
doing nothing
we don't.
But you did go through a phase of weighing
no,
your food.
No, I never weighed.
Yes, you did. I remember going out for a game of pool one time, and you were saying, "I'll have 6 ounces of chicken now, and then I'll have 12 ounces."
200 of basmati rice and 200.
Yeah.
No, well that's
when you're supposed when you to get, weigh your food.
When
anyway.
You were getting serious
yeah.
into the weights,
yeah, but
you
I
are.
Got so serious into it that I bought a fucking gym. I bought a gym. That's how seriously I got into the weights.
One at home, like, or an actual gym?
No, I bought a gym.
In an actual place?
To have people coming in the door to work out.
What's
in
it called?
The Body Works.
Tell us that story.
Did you not know this?
I have a vague recollection.
I bought a gym in 2011, yeah.
Is it still there?
I bought a building and we kitted it out. For fuck's sake. If you want to kick money into a fucking...
I'm sure everyone loves the gym.
A pit. How much is that fucking Smith machine? 11,500. Fuck off. How much is this? 6,000. How much of them?
Cash for cash. How much is
that? 4,000. How much is this? 200 quid. How much are the mats to have the weights on the ground? 6,000. How much for mats? It's an endless pit.
So did you open the gym to the public?
Yes, we had an opening. Brezzy came down. Brezzy ran from Mullingar to the gym and opened it for me.
Did you expect me and Tommy to react differently to that?
Like,
Brezzy, what did you want us to do?
I rang Brezzy. I said, "Will you come down?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll run down and I'll open it for you." And then he did a workshop that afternoon on mental well-being, and then had the Galway hurling coach in doing a thing, and then I had the lads from Connacht Rugby doing a stretch. And so we had about six. Or
that's
six,
a high-profile launch.
Didn't
it was
ask,
six or
didn't
seven.
Didn't ask Tommy to come over and do some of his weightlifting.
I opened a gym in 2011.
And how long did it wait?
2013. I got mad into it. 2010. But morning radio, I was training 4 or 5 days a week. I was having my protein shake on the radio at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got mad into training and started seeing development and got stronger. And then 2013, a guy that I know in Galway from Salt Hill, and he said, "What do you think of this? There's a building after coming up out here in Briar Hill." And I says, "Right, I'm mad into opening a gym. Let's open a real nice boutique gym, not massive private one-on-one classes, just a nice vibe." So we kitted it out pretty nice. It was wooden floors on the way in, nice reception, very coolly done with recycled materials.
Who was working on reception?
Hard to get people. I had a load of different people. The hardest fucking thing.
Make it up for it.
We had a girl called Siobhan.
And did you do the interviews?
She was from Roscommon.
Did you do the interviews?
I interviewed them all.
And what sent it over the...
Why are you interested in that, Tommy?
In what?
He's got an image in his head.
Well, the girl's working at reception in the gym.
Yeah, they have to
well,
be.
They're wearing hot pants and stuff.
Yoga pants.
Yoga pants.
Yeah, not ski pants. Everyone calls them ski pants in Ireland.
They're like
yoga pants.
Bicycle
those
shorts, like.
Clingy.
Bicycle shorts.
No, not bicycle shorts. That's like middle-aged
Lycra.
Men in Lycra. So the hardest part, what we decided to do was make it really cool and really nice. It was sort of like a boutique sort of spot.
Did you get coffee there?
Yes, and we had all the gear. But even in the ladies' changing rooms, I put in really quality.
Cameras. State of the art CCTV.
I went into Maplin's and got the best quality cameras I could.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hid them in the hair dryers.
He put sound microphones in there.
No, we put hair dryers, really cool, nice hair dryers for the ladies and all the little bits. It was just I wanted to do a nice field. So upstairs was where most of the training happened. So it was one on one in classes of 7 and 8. It wasn't a massive gym. You could fit 15 or 20 people. in a class.
At your peak, how many members did you have?
A couple of hundred members, yeah.
Oh.
But the problem was getting staff. And it was up in an area in Briar Hill where there was all the massive companies, Fidelity and Medtronic, and they were all coming down. So I wanted people to come down there and not feel that they were in a gym where I shouldn't really be here. And I think I'm a little bit overwhelmed and I feel I don't belong here.
Because I'm not fit enough looking.
Yeah, or I don't fit in here. So that's what we wanted to do. And one-on-one classes or three or four in a small class. And we had mommies and babies classes and all sorts of stuff. And it went well, but the problem was trying to keep staff in the fucking thing. I was going in there and there was people looking in the mirror, your mum, and he's going, good girl, Marie, yeah, that's another thing. And he's on his mobile and he's looking at his muscles. So just finding staff was the hardest part. To cut a long story short, we lasted about 2 to 3 years and then who bought the building beside me?
Who bought the building beside you?
Yeah.
A bigger gym.
Ben Dunn.
Yeah.
He did.
Did he? And does he have a gym? Because he's kind of cut price gyms or something.
He bought a building very close, and then we exited stage left. I sold my share of the thing, and I think now it's an office thing. I think it's been changed into an office.
My goodness!
There you go. Isn't that an interesting one?
Interesting.
Very interesting. Did you not know that?
The body works. I still have the t-shirts.
So life is suffering.
Right.
Yes. Go back. Yes.
So how do you interpret that?
That it's always unsatisfactory. That there are
not always.
Ultimately, it's unsatisfactory.
Life.
Yeah, ultimately. There are peaks and peaks, but the peak is like a nipple on a breast. The breast is mainly, you know, there are nipples,
yes.
But it's mainly diddy.
It's mainly just a mass area.
Life is a bit diddy.
Yeah. There's only a little bit of enjoyment every now and then.
Would Buddhism not be focused on the goodness and the optimism?
But wait till you hear.
That's only the first.
Okay, so we're not all agreeing here. Life is shit, but the shitness can be climbed to get over the far side of the hill to come into the nice.
No, then you just run back into it.
Do you find yourself kind of, when Hector tries to come up with a metaphor to describe this kind of stuff?
Life is like a mountain.
Life is a shit mountain that you try to climb over.
You just climb over the shitness.
But you can't stay down one side of it. It's shit all the time. You find a new fucking glen.
You can always fall into more of it.
You go over the new brow of the hill to find new fucking life, just like they do in any of those Disney movies.
Honestly, I think we're going to have our own month.
What is he fucking talking about? So that's the first noble truth.
Have.
There's four noble truths.
Four. All right, now here we go. They're much more concise than the
Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Yes.
So the first thing is that life is ultimately just middling. Yeah. That'd be the if Buddha had been from Knockmore, that's what he would have said. Life is middling.
Middling, and it's the best way to have it. Now go on.
The second noble truth is that the middling is caused by wanting stuff.
Yes. I agree.
So the more you want, the more unsatisfactory life is.
Yes. I totally agree.
Okay.
And then the more depressing it gets.
Yeah.
And right. the more you want and the more materialistic and the whole in search of fucking nothing.
Yes.
The third noble truth is there is a way out of it. There's a way out of the desiring stuff. Mm.
Great. These
which
are
causes
very
the suffering.
These are very logical and the moving fourth, on very fast.
The fourth noble truth is I'm going to tell you the way out.
And
it's called the eight paths.
Okay.
Oh, so they're now they're after deviating.
So we've gone from the four nobles to the eight paths.
Yeah,
they're doing a family tree on it.
The path of eightness.
Yes.
Right. So go on. What's on that?
It's about having the right point of view. It's about having the right resolve. It's about doing the right things. It's about saying the right things. It's about earning your money in the right way. It's about making the right type of effort, having the right type of mindfulness and the right type of concentration.
Right,
and
I like
that's
this.
The path out of suffering.
I like these rules. They're not condescending or they're not...
You don't just believe in magic.
They're not about God. Every second one of them doesn't say... Well, obviously,
love your neighbour.
Yeah. Mm.
The one that I have struggled with is speech. Right speech. I did a gig for a load of Buddhists there a few years ago and a Buddhist who's on that path would say, you know, just be careful of what you say, mind what you say, always try to speak positively, don't gossip, because what you say has an effect on your mind.
Mm.
But when I stand up on stage,
it pops out.
I just, like, I'm cursing and blinding and I'm letting all the devil energy out of my mouth. So that's, and I wonder.
That should be allowed, is it not? Because that's not real.
Yeah, but you see, the problem is when he's on stage and he says something, people take it up on all in the wrong ways.
But also,
it grows legs.
But, that's yeah, and also people get people walk out of shows and people kind of going, I don't think you should have said that. And but not only that, but I would often come off stage going, I wish I hadn't said that. And I've had this strange experience. I remember being on stage one time.
It's kind of like a Tourette's thing, is it?
Well, it's kind of like...
It just pops out and you don't even...
But your job is to let everything pop out.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of the joy of sitting in the audience, is that everybody is so careful all the time about everything that we're going to pay good money to sit in the dark and watch a fool being lit up and amplified on the stage. And he's going to say, he's almost like a release valve. He is the breathing hole in the ice that the seal pops his head through.
Yes.
Everything, it's going to be completely unfiltered and raw and wild. It's kind of the opposite of mass.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like a bad mass. He'd be up there like the worst type of underground priest.
Yeah.
Fucking and farting and feeking and fiking. And, and people would be going, oh God, I needed that. I needed the release of that. But I'm the one then who walks off stage going, oh, like I've had drives home after a
gig. Paranoid as fuck.
Gone. Oh, why did I say? Like so I record all the shows just in case I say something. Well, not really. I record them because I think to myself, well, the only way to improve, well, no. I don't know why I record them basically, but I do.
You can listen back to
them. I listen back to them if I'm trying to work on the show or something.
Yeah,
but I remember one time getting up on stage. And I started talking about Joe Duffy, the radio presenter, who I'm very, very fond of. And I walked off stage going, oh, fuck, why did I say those things about him? Why did I call him those names? Why did I say he was the baddest bastard that ever walked in the world? And why did I go at him in such a ferocious way? And I said, I drove home feeling as elated and as wild as I felt on stage when I was driving home. I was... going, all that kind of all that wild energy was—I was in the dregs of it. It was like it was like coming down from ecstasy.
Yes,
I was in the dregs of it, and I was going. My body was filled with such negative energy, and I was driving home through the dark, through Roscommon Town, onto Athlone, and Ballina Slough, and I was just getting lower and lower and lower in myself. And I got home, and I crawled out of the car. I crawled in through the front door and up into the bed. Didn't even take me clothes off. I just slept on top of the duvet, feeling terrible, feeling like I was the worst person, that I'd given into the worst instincts and worst impulses. So I said, I'm going to have to listen back to this, because these days, like, it used to be my stand up anyway. I think one of the pillars of it is intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if I'm talking to people, the same way I'm talking to you now, I take advantage of the intimacy and I depend on it and I fucking trust the intimacy. But now that people are recording shows, you can say something almost in any public situation, and someone is filming you. It can be then broadcast to the world, and you're going, but hang on, this wasn't designed to be broadcast to the world. This was just meant to be said.
Or to take a tiny bit of it and send that off.
You know, so. You can see how people can start being careful when they start being on stage now.
Of course, you're worried.
But once people start being careful when they're on stage, that's the end of the fucking thrill of it. But I recorded the show anyway. And I said, I'm going to have to listen back to this. And I didn't say anything.
It was in your head.
It was totally 100% in. I was in such a wild, open, creative mental space that all I said was Joe Duffy. I said something along the lines of, "Ara Joe Duffy, for fuck's sake." I was in Rathfarnham Shopping Centre, Joe, and the €1 coin got stuck in the shopping trolley. It's an absolute disgrace. That's the guts of what I said.
Yeah.
But it had morphed into me thinking, I'd called him Joe Duffy all the names under the sun. So in terms of the Buddhist thing of right speech, that's not something I can say. Right livelihood, I can absolutely say that. Okay, the way that I earn my living is good. I have no problem with that. The idea of making people laugh or engage in conversation.
There's nothing dishonest about it.
There's nothing dishonest about that. But the big one I have is speech, because, you know, my mind.
You have to be able to separate the two, on stage. You're in an acting role almost. You're in, like, that's like saying if you're doing if you're playing a serial killer in a movie or in a series, that that's your speech. It's not. That's acting, and that's not real life. So you have to be able to separate the two of them out.
I wonder
if surely you can't be criticised for, that's your job. You're not breaking the rule by doing a dishonest job. So that's your job. So it's not, you're not doing the, that's not the real you up there.
Yeah, but I've done gigs for Buddhists.
But what do they want you to do at a gig then? Do they want you to...
No, but I just know, I just know that some of them had a problem with the dirty, flushed toilet of my mind.
The Buddhists.
So in fairness,
maybe
they should have known that before they hired you.
In a general thing here, have you been more, as I think for you and what you're talking about being that freedom on stage, I think you have now crossed over where people are allowing you. It's not the controversy of 10 years ago, Tommy. Do you know what I'm saying? Where you...
I'm out the gap, am I?
Yeah, I think you're out the gap and you're around the far side. I think you're more generally accepted in a
way
now.
Listen, you can't be... On stage.
And for who you are and what you do, than maybe 15 years ago when papers were writing about this and you said that.
I don't
controversy.
Know. I think that's still there.
Do you feel that, Tommy?
Okay, just hand me over that thing. See the thing that says the clown and I'll read it out to you.
Okay.
Okay,
I have a few things to come in. I want to come in on a few points here.
Yes.
Yes.
So, do they have like confessions in Buddhist? Like, because we can confess our...
I confess to Almighty Buddha. No, so many years ago, a wonderful man called Tom McIntyre.
Yes.
Who died about 2 years ago. He sent me this poem that he wrote.
Right.
Called The Clown. Okay. And I suppose it's absolutely about that fucking wildness and giving into it. The clown. Beware the clown. That portable hatched grimace, testament to appetites unappeasable. One taste worse than another. You! You're the worst of the lot. Get basta out of his sight. But give him mercy, mercy. The music, makeup, lights, sweat, sawdust, razzmatazz, and font of voluptuary grace, he ravishes you, you and yours, with tender fingers, lifts the veil and most tenderly allows it to fall. You go home, shriven, forsaken. Where on earth have you been? You've been to bed with the clown, the huckster, hoaxer, shaman. Don't ask him how it's done. Himself again, he can't tell. The veil just lifted, let fall.
Like it.
Now, isn't there something in that about the fucking...
Of course. Of course there is.
About the character in the culture who stands up and takes nothing seriously and has the dirty mouth, he has the foul mouth, mm-hmm. but he also in some kind of strange way has the holy mouth.
Yeah, because when he's...
But he has the humour. He has the humour.
Does it through humour.
Humour. And it's the same thing in your class. It's the same thing in your workplace. We need a clown.
But you guys, in your work now, you, Loretta, you wouldn't have to worry about...
Have you ever
right speech or right livelihood?
Well, you would. Like,
would you?
No, but I know. I mean, you still have to... I think everywhere you work, you still have to have a certain standards of how you have to behave and how you...
Yeah.
So, of course, you could, that could be classified in any work or any job, not necessarily comedy, or you could misbehave, or you could be nasty in work, or you could say the wrong thing or an inappropriate thing. So you have to...
But your work doesn't encourage...
No. No, it's straightforward.
I remember doing a gig one time for it was a Centre for Independent Living, and these are disabled people. People who live with disability, and the whole thing was about getting them to be able to
live
independently, mm-hmm. and get houses and apartments done up.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to. It was at the end of a year's class, and they asked me, like, when you ask a comedian,
it's not.
When you ask the fucking the huckster,
you can't help it. It's
you can't. you can't expect him just to be nicey-nice.
Oh,
so I drove up. And I was given awards to people with disability because of the different things. And I drove up and I said, it's an absolute pleasure to be talking to you here today. I said, I parked in one of the handicapped spaces. I hope that's okay. But you're all the spaces around here are handicapped.
And what did they say?
Then nobody laughed. Nobody laughed. But you have to. Isn't that exactly what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is a bit, so you're okay.
Oh, God.
But isn't that an example of...
Do you ever think, like, when you were on the road to that place and you were thinking, you know what now, I will go there as an upstanding member of society and I will be kind.
But you see, a clown can't be an upstanding.
You can't.
You can't act.
Look at.
You can't just be normal.
No, he can't just be normal. No, but
he's not Brian Dobson. It's not Brian Dobson. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gathered here to celebrate. It's not. You're asking the wrong...
Oh, in fairness, it was their fault for bringing you.
Like, but was it my fault for being...
No, I think you're
inappropriate.
You're bringing the but you see, the level of humour, there's always a line with the level of humour, and people always thought of your humour, they were always going, he's crossed the line again, or Tiernan has done it again. But I think you've gone past that now. I think you've gone into it.
There's times where you need to pigeonhole it.
No, there isn't.
If he pigeonholes it, he may as well go back and become a pigeon.
You might as well soap your mouth.
So what if you had to go down to your kid's school and give out medals to the...
Well, fair play to the pre-vision for doing it.
The athletic class, right? And you had to go down and they're all 11-year-olds. You're not going to go down and start being inappropriate to those children, are you?
Start flirting with them.
No, I don't mean
with
like
the H-dipper. It's the H-dipper.
You wouldn't go down and be like, oh, fucking well done and fucking.
Why not?
But would you?
Because if they hire a comedian to do it, what they're saying
is... they're asking Tommy Tiernan.
That's what I am.
Unfortunately, now you're not just a comedian.
If they ask a comedian to come and do something, they have to expect that the comedian will undermine the event.
See,
that's the whole point of it.
What if they invite Tommy Tiernan, the TV presenter, to come down?
I don't know. It's an interesting one. But
I will say to you that it all comes back to me.
Everything comes back.
The tide comes in, but it fucking goes out as well. And
yes,
nobody suffers more from my mouth than I do.
So why don't you try?
Why just shut up?
That's what I'm asking you.
I'm saying to you, should I just fucking take up welding or a bit of scudding?
No, you'd hate it.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So do you ever, Hector, worry about that type of stuff?
The worst one that I've ever had that happened to me, and I don't know what the fuck happened. Some little man got hold of me on television one night.
That wasn't exciting, Loretta.
I was on the Brendan O'Connor show on a Saturday night, and Brendan was talking, and the radio thing was just coming to an end around that time. And Brendan said, and Brendan had just lost his slot as well. And something festered in me on the Brendan O'Connor show on a Saturday night. And he goes, Hector, you've done 3 or 4 years on Breakfast Radio, went really well. And how are you feeling about it all? And I went, well, you know, we did really good work and I'm fucking very proud of that show, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I suppose, the rest of them. And he goes, I says, Brendan, sure, you're in the same boat. You've been given the red card as well, while the rest of them are down the canteen like, what did I say? What's your one on with the blondie?
No names.
What's your one on the blondie hair with Saturday, Sunday morning show? Prime time. What's her name?
Miriam O'Callaghan. Yeah.
And I said, so they're all down there in the canteen, Miriam O'Callaghan, all them talking shite, like all the shite every day of the week.
Fuck this. Oh, shite.
I'm leaving.
And then I just said it. And then the papers the next day and followed on during the week. I don't know what I said. Miriam Callan, you're the whole lot of them here.
She's a lovely woman, Miriam O'Callaghan.
Yeah. I've met Miriam loads of times, but it was just something in my head that I just said it. They're all talk. They're all the rest of them talk shite down the canteen. It's the same old shite here anyway. And then I just did it. And I'd be there going, why did I say that?
Did the dogs of your own karma come barking after you said it?
No, because it was like, on the radio one morning, I called Cubberty a bollocks. I called Tubberty a bollocks.
He's letting them all out.
But like it was like the handover, 5 to 9, 9 o'clock. So I would hand over the breakfast show to Ryan. Ryan would go, morning Hector, how's things? I go, Ryan, are you well? What's coming up on the show? And he goes, da 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 da. And Tubberty was egging me on about something. I says, you know, Ryan, you're only a bollocks. I've had enough of this. And he just went, what? And I said, but sure, it's not really a bad word, is it, you know, bollocks? And next minute...
Never mind the bollocks, here's the Hector.
And next minute there was fucking calls from the lawyers, the solicitors, department in RTE, and then Alan Swan, the producer, got his knuckles wrapped and tell Hector he can't say things like that. And I says, there's far more important things happening in the world than just playing owl bollocks. Like, why do people react? Why do people react to stupid little things like that? It just annoys me. And there was another one that annoys me as well. Let's just get it out here as well.
Turn our microphones off,
because
Tommy.
There's no censoring on this podcast.
No, there's none.
And fucking RT didn't, you know, and it was the thing, like, I said, I came in one morning on the breakfast show and I said, look it, I've had a rough day yesterday. I went home, it was the middle of December, it was -2 outside, and I got that lovely sentence from my wife going, you know, I think the toilets are blocked. So what do you do when the toilets are blocked? You either ring Hallmasters or you go out and fix it yourself.
I can't. Every time I drive past one of their vans, I start laughing.
Hallmasters.
Hallmaster. It sounds like a tantric qualification. Doesn't it?
Three lads in high-vis jackets in the front. Hallmasters.
It sounds like it's something that if you went off to do a fucking 4-year Bachelor of Arts degree in lovemaking, at the end of it, you do a PhD and become a Hallmaster.
Hallmasters.
The wife is there lying back fiddling with herself. Oh, God, I just can't bring myself to any sort of conclusion. You know who I need? Hallmaster!
And then he comes out, man in the high-vis, a suction and drainage expert.
No more colonoscopies.
Hello, Celine, you've called for Hallmasters. Paul, we've a job for Hallmasters. And they pulled the van
There's
in.
A load of women out there now who need a few suction and drainage facilities.
Hallmasters, it's an orange luminous, it's a luminous
it's the best
orange
ever.
Van with Hallmasters. Who do you work for?
Hallmaster.
You want two jobs. They might send you two t-shirts and you go around wearing them.
I couldn't wear a Hallmaster with a straight face.
Put it on your back and you wouldn't know the difference.
What a great name. I've been working for Hallmasters for about... My name is Paul McDade and I've been working for Hallmasters for 17 years.
When are you going to do your fucking career guidance teacher? What do you want to be when you leave school? A Hallmaster?
I want to be a Hallmaster. All bow for the Hallmaster, and he walks into the eternal
some lovely young one lying on the lying on her stomach face down in the mattress, and you're going to her and she turns around over her shoulder. You know what you're at. Yeah, you a Hallmaster.
Sounds like a job for Hallmaster.
Oh my God.
Hallmaster. Monkey master. Hallmaster.
Oh, man. Dirty bastards.
Ding dong. You call for Hallmasters. So I came in that morning, I went up to the Flins of Laca and I bought a load of rods to rod. What my father, I remember one of the images of my father was never ending, frosty morning in Navan in the 70s, late 70s, and the shore was blocked and me and my brothers were all firing down these copper pipes, down this thing, trying to hoosh it out like years ago with this rod that you kept on putting extra extensions on. So I went and I bought a set of rods and then I rodded out my own, which is a thing that most people need to do. You have to rod your own shores. Like, you know what I mean? It's not...
Now, where's
it's not a nice thing to do.
Where
it's
the hole for that?
You open up the AJs.
What's the AJ? Okay.
The AJs,
be more specific.
The AJs are the squares that are outside your house. You lift them up and then you can get access to your
shore. What?
AJs. They're little square things where you see writing on them.
Okay.
They're little black things. The county council have bigger ones, but outside your house, there's a number of areas.
Like on the path or something?
Yes, there's little squares. They're called AJ.
Do you have them in Mayo?
I do.
You and AJ, you know where.
Does every house have an AJ? Yeah,
everyone has loads of AJs. So you lift up.
Well, if they have a toilet.
If you have toilet, it has to go somewhere, Tommy. So it leaves your house and it goes off in a magic carousel.
Down to its down to its septic tank.
Exactly. So there's a carousel of pipes.
Well, in Barnet, it goes down. It's pretty odd. It goes down to the pier. And then sails off to Inishere.
So lifted the AJ, rotted the thing, did it, and it was cold, it was wet, it was a nasty job to do, and I did it. I came in the next morning and I went, "How's it? Good morning, everybody. How's it going? This is Breakfast Hector." Da 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 da. Then 7:10, I said, "Geez." So I went up and I followed in my father's footsteps and my grandfather's footsteps, where I bought my own set of rods, and I'm after doing my own set. I fixed the blockage yesterday in my own sewage system, so I'm delighted with that. And you know what? The government are trying to bring in a tax on sewage systems, so they can feck off. They can come down if they want to pay me. They can come to my house. So I let a bit of a rant out about da da da. At 9:20, I got another phone call from some people in RT saying, "You cannot give your opinion about something like that. Do not mention septic tanks again, do not mention rods again, and do not be giving your opinion on national radio."
Is it any wonder why we're doing a podcast and not a radio show?
Exactly.
That's what they rang. They rang to say you're not allowed to give your opinion.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so maybe I've
don't
said something.
Have no opinion.
But I've only had that pedestal when I had the microphone on national radio. So maybe, Tommy, you every time you go out on
the world is a lot better of a place now that we don't have to give our opinions. Like, what the fuck?
Like, exactly. But why are we losing that? Why are we losing that rock and roll aspect to our lives? Why are we losing that madness? I mean, in the 60s, the hippies wanted to change the world and they wanted to rebel and there was flower power and everything. We've lost rock and roll. We've lost all the hippies because we're all just conforming into this little, nice little... There's no colour.
You can't say that.
Well, people are just afraid.
But Tommy, I suppose every time you go out on stage, you cannot be afraid of saying what you want to say.
No, what I've noticed is if you in any way block what comes into your mouth, it all stops.
Yes.
It all stops. So you have to kind of
yes.
gird yourself and say, if once I step on stage here now, I have to let whatever comes out of my mouth, I have to let it flow. And if that's the deal. Because once you start being careful, then...
I don't think you're breaking... I'm not a Buddhist, but you don't think you're breaking any of the Buddhist
rules.
That's the one
I would have a problem with.
It'd be different if you were going around on your personal life and being like that.
Being nasty.
Yeah. And you're not.
But do you like gossip?
No, not at all.
Really?
I don't like gossip. Because it's hurtful to other people. And if you're the ever experience or be the brunt of it, then you don't like it.
But you don't get together with Audrey and have a good old gas about some old wagon you met and
that's just one. That's just the two of us, though. But I wouldn't go out and tell loads of other people.
But that is gossip, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, gossip, I suppose, is a bit. Now you're going all sheepish now and kind of. So you do. No, you thrive on it.
No, I don't thrive on it. That's not right to say it. Thrive on it.
Thriving is
completely different. That's like going from one person to the next to the next.
What I'm suggesting is that really you love sitting in beside Audrey now,
yes.
and you're shoulder to shoulder
and a large gin
and we're rubbing each other and tickling each other and doing all that sort of stuff. Yes.
And then someone walks in and the two of you go, "Well, I'll tell you a story about her.
Did you see who got the nose done?"
As long as it was just the two of us there, I wouldn't do it if there was 10 people there.
Men don't do that sort of stuff.
So thriving on it is inappropriate. It's the wrong use of the word, to thrive on it. I don't thrive on it because I wouldn't go around to everybody in the village, or if somebody told me something, I'd be like, "Oh, I don't think I need to know that," or "That's not for me."
All right, okay, yeah.
That's different. That's thriving on it is going around telling anybody that'll listen to you the news.
Yes.
And the gossip and going, "Oh, listen, wait, I tell you this. Oh, fuck, fuck." And it's could be detrimental to that person,
yes.
Or it could be dangerous for them.
Yep.
You know, and then all of a sudden something that person finds out, or that it becomes a bigger problem. I wouldn't like to be part of that.
Are the gossip mongers as powerful, are they as prevalent as they used to be in society? Or
is gossip, they're absolutely.
Because is it social media now we use it on gossip, or WhatsApp?
People do it all the time. Yeah, it's not nice.
But Audrey's a safe space.
Yes.
I remember you telling me one time that one of the things you valued most about your friendship with Audrey was that you don't have to try to be good when you're with her.
Yes.
That you can just be your...
100% yourself and not be judged by...
Isn't that wonderful? To be with somebody and you don't feel as if you're being judged.
Yes.
That's a miracle.
Isn't that the essence of a good friend?
Like, I'd never say something to her and she'd go, you can't say that. That's not right. Like, or vice versa.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. You can just say anything.
And you can be weak in front of her.
Yes.
You're weak-minded.
Yes.
And weak-mouthed and just not your best self.
Exactly.
And you can be...
It never gets out beyond that.
You can be bitter and you can be mean and you can be an old wagon and you
over.
Know... That yeah. you can just flush it out all over Audrey and none of it will stain her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that marvellous? It's a marvellous thing.
Never, yeah. But then if there was, you see, other people would say, oh, that's mean, you can't say that, or you shouldn't say that, or blah, blah, blah. Other people would judge you for that.
Yeah.
Whereas Audrey or I wouldn't judge.
But you see,
that's
years and years and years and years of ups and downs and friendship and Dublin and travelling and...
Trust. It's 100% trust.
Yeah, but that comes with great friends and great
friends.
Best friends.
Yeah.
Wow, fair play to you.
And do you not have
Audrey's
that?
I have it with Hector now. I wouldn't be... I'd be able to give out about people and...
Yeah.
You know,
we have a special relationship.
have a little sneer every now and again. Or
yeah.
The two of us could go into a restaurant and have a cafe and we might be served by somebody.
Yes.
And both of our nostrils would flare. Yes. And we'd say nothing to
I've been
to
in your company. With
You've
that
seen the flaring
before.
Of nostrils, haven't you? It's subtle.
Oh, depending on who you are.
But I've been in restaurants with
it's
Tommy.
It's like a bull getting the whiff of a cow in the neighbouring
field. Everything
fields.
That's missing is like full on.
I've been in restaurants with Tommy in places like that and I cannot, if we start laughing, we're fucked. And it's like we're 12 years of age and tears.
It's very immature.
And somebody taking
we could have a production meeting after this and you would do it.
Yes.
You don't have to be outside in
flaring
public.
Nostrils.
Yeah, flaring nostrils. For a second, like you can't concentrate. You're like two children.
So this is like sort of following on that Buddhism thing. But I got that feeling when I was in an airport the other day where I'm trying to think of the really beautiful moments. And it's like bottling the feeling that really is. Do you know people say, oh, if I could bottle that feeling. What's the
fucking Paddy positivity here? I swear to fuck.
What did you put in the bottle, Hector?
No. So I want to open those moments that in life that are fucking really good.
Yeah, but sometimes
could bottle.
You can't.
But if you could bottle it. You know when people say if you could bottle that feeling. That's what I'm...
Sometimes it's good that it just comes and goes.
Exactly.
At orgasm, I have 3 or 4 seconds.
God. Yes, Tommy.
Complete.
I'm going to write these down because I'm going to put out a bottle.
And if you bottled that, Tommy, how do you think you could use that in today's...
That's what I said to the missus. I said, I had the most marvellous orgasm. And I just said to her, you could bottle that.
if you could bottle that, would you...
Sell it in the health food store. Buy the CBD oil.
How do you think you could use that
spunk time
in any other part of your day then? Like if you bottled that goodness from the orgasm, but you were going to use that goodness on something else, how do you think that would translate?
How would I take the spirit of orgasm?
Yeah, and just the goodness that it'll enjoy.
I'm totally incapacitated. I'm like, if I try to, say if I had an orgasm in the middle of dinner.
Why do we call it an orgasm? Men don't, why are you calling it? Come on, let's call it
what
fucking
it?
Men call it.
What is it?
When you came, yeah, when you had a good cum. Don't be calling it fucking orgasm. It sounds as if we're bloody here on bloody Operation Transformation.
Is it not an orgasm?
When
it
you came,
an
orgasm for men. Whoever said that,
what
Tommy?
The fuck do they
what
have?
The fuck are you on about? No man in Ireland. And has ever gone. I had a lovely orgasm last night, lads. Paul, what do you want? 3 Smiddicks, 2 Guinness, 6 Harp, 6
So what would you say then? I had a great cum last night, is it?
I had a lovely ride last night, I had a lovely orgasm. Everyone in the pub would stop and go, what the fuck? You go, I had a lovely cum last night, lads. It's a cum, Tommy.
No.
It's a cum, it's an orgasm for women, it's a cum for men.
Yeah, but Navin was just you're spunking up.
No, but Tommy,
oh
no.
Oh my God,
no.
Why did we go back to that?
No,
go on.
No, but you can't say, oh, I had a lovely
you
orgasm.
You can.
No, because men don't say that. We just go, I had a lovely cum. I'm going to cum.
Sorry, so you go to the bar and you go, oh, I had a great cum last night. Why would you be telling people about it?
Hang on. I have never in my life heard a man say to a woman before he ejaculates going, do you know what, darling? I'm going to have a lovely orgasm here as well. She goes, shut your mouth. Just cum, will you? Cum. Men cum. Women have orgasms. Simple as that.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Oh, yes. Jesus, move on.
Right. So, bottle that feeling. Bottle that.
My brain is after. It feels like it's after being fucking given.
Road.
¿Quieres algo para comer?
A gorge.
Dos cervezas, por favor.
Tasulaham Gubulshib Gama. Ismisha Emily. I'm currently sitting in a hostel at the Red Frog Beach in Panama. Listening to the podcast as the lashes rain. Jeez, I could be at home in Ireland. I started travelling a few weeks back, and this is my first year away from home for Christmas. And being the only girl out of four children and the baby, I think the only thing better than having me home for my mam would be getting a big hello from you guys. She started listening way back when you started the podcast, and she has myself and me boyfriend and everyone else she knows hooked. It's great to have a bit of home to listen to on one of the many overnight buses that we have to take or while we're being squeezed onto a chicken bus. Anyway, a big hello, Mam Brenda, all the way from Central America. I miss you lots and I love you lots. Happy Christmas, Mam. Nollig Honna, Emily. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And Lacuna J will see you this time next week. Bye bye.
New glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.